Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Brian from the podcast you're about to listen to. When we sat down to record this, Kyle, myself, and the two guests, we had some issues with the internet and there was some problems with the sound. Now, Chris Pabs, the genius, did his best to cut through the thicket and create a beautifully wide path for us to enjoy the vista of this fantastic conversation. So buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Oh, you can try and keep up with it, but, you know, you get to a certain point in life where, you know, your mind's writing checks that your body can't cash anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. The older you get, it hurts.
Yeah, so yeah. I've sadly expedited that process for myself due to either not taking care of myself and then many years in the military. So I'm like, I shouldn't be feeling this broken at this age. Come on, guys. What's going on?
What do you hit 59, 60, man? I've got some bad news for you.
And that's the thing I have to like use as a wake-up call. It's like, you know, if it sucks for me now, it's not going to get better with time. So maybe I should do something to kind of keep this at bay a little better.
I remember being a young soldier and you'd go down to the boozer and, you know, get a skinful and then you're up and running the next day doing PT and everything. And,
you know, in my career, the amount of times I've done that, the all-night benders and then show up to PT the next morning, like, it just shrug it off. I look back at myself, I'm like, God, what was I made of? Because you shouldn't be able to do that
no,
so easily.
Exactly right, yeah. No.
Because it's all determination. Determination and young stupidity. You just don't – you're not smart enough to even know what you're doing. It's not a good idea.
That's why soldiers are young. It's not an old man's game, that's for sure.
No, it isn't. Though I got to say, there are a lot of older guys that, you know, they kept up, you know, through the years of PT and all that. Like, you know, I have some 60-some-odd-year-old, you know, supervisors that were in charge, and they were holding it up even at that age. So it's just a matter of maintaining it is key. Like, I know when I stopped working out as heavily, that's when my body's just like, oh, we're done working out. So that means we're ready to die, right? And I'm like, no, hold on. We're just taking a break. You can't just hit the brakes suddenly.
Yeah. Start to shut down.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just taking a breather. Yeah. Going from 0 to 100 to 0 is not a good way to transition.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, birds in the sky and fish in the sea, welcome to the Built Sideways podcast. My name is Brian. Some people call me the Bro Builder. And this evening we have a fantastic episode. It is a follow-up episode to our conversation we had with Zach Rensberger, Mr. Zacco Aurelius, about the Gunpla community's interactions with the IPMS. And tonight we are joined by a different crew than we normally have. I have my regular compadre, Mr. Kyle Harris.
Hey.
And tonight I'm joined by two special guests. We have True Gunpla, Joel Stone.
Hey, what's
thank up? You, Joel. And we have the Podfather himself from On the Bench podcast, Mr. David Goldfinch.
G'day, everybody.
Thank you guys for joining me this late evening and for you, Dave, in the morning to have this little talk today. And the conversation that we had on that episode drew a lot of feedback. We got messages and outreach from people across the board. A lot of our Discord, there was a long conversation that happened on our Discord general page that was a wonderful. I'm not going to go into the details on that. We also received emails from representatives inside and outside of the IPMS. And it seemed like everyone is very interested in furthering the interactions and having a brighter future. And I think that that's fantastic as a place to start and continue the conversation from.
Definitely. I want to make an amendment to the previous episode. Manning's got me caught up to stuff because I neglected to mention at least 20 additional manufacturer companies that are produce traditional models out of Japan. So I only included Tamiyo, but and I made a broad statement about how the vast majority of them are European companies, but actually they're all Japanese. So I would like to amend that statement. Actually, almost all of the kit manufacturers are out of Japan versus Europe. Europe's probably got like 5 compared to their 20, 30, 40. I don't remember what the point I was driving, but there are more companies coming out of Japan. You know, Ming, Hasegawa, all those.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I do remember you just said that Tamiya, so that was like pretty short.
Yeah. I don't remember what the point I was trying to make is. Yeah, but there was a lot more companies. Let's be honest. People don't take my knowledge as gospel, so let's keep it that way.
That's true. That's true. It is definitely
it is gospel. Opinion.
It's dangerous. Dave. Don't let it be gospel.
Yo,
Dave, you've been doing this modeling game and this podcasting game much longer than any of us here on this side of the pond, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
I want to hear a little bit from you on what you kind of thought about your conversation with the guest that you had on your end, because I know that you, the three of you on the bench, kind of kept your comments a little bit reserved and kind of held and let the boys themselves just kind of talk it out. You know, I want to know what you were thinking. Yeah.
Well, originally the idea was to, because we'd sort of circled around the sinkhole for a while now, you know, just touching on different sort of ways that shows can be judged. And I wanted just to get somebody on from AMPS and IPMS just to present actually what they do. The aim wasn't to sort of have a discussion which is better, which is worse. I just wanted to present the audience, hey, this is how IPMS is judged and this is how the philosophy behind AMPS and how AMPS is judged. And that was it. Mm-hmm. The three of us have sort of got some ideas, you know, as to the way things should be moving forward. Well, particularly I certainly know that I do. And I don't think you can sort of have that conversation until you sort of understand with how things are working in the world at the moment in regards to what there is. So you have to have that foundation discussion first, and then from there you can sort of start, you know, letting the community sort of lead you into which way they want to go. I mean, at the end of the day, the whole thing is a community event, is it not? Without the modeling community, you wouldn't be having these shows. You wouldn't be having all this fantastic sort of interaction as we do as podcasters as well. So, yeah, that's pretty much where we were.
Oh, yeah. Did how do I want to say this? Because I've been a fan of your show forever. I've listened to all of them, even the early ones that you guys tell people not to listen to. As soon as, and I found you guys through Mike and Dave, the guys in Kentucky, with Model Mojo.
Yeah, those whiskey sipping high seas from Kentucky. Yes.
Thank you. I was hoping you would say that. Those guys are fantastic. Honestly, yeah. Everyone that I've interacted with in the community, everyone has been just like, it's been a joy to continue to further my experiences in the hobby and to interact with so many cool and talented individuals across the board. It is like the thing that really gets me. I mean, and I get really excited about stuff. It really keeps me going. And I think that the conversation that you tried to have was actually succeed. I feel like you did a great job of letting the guys talk it out. And the conversation that you had wasn't as focused. Like we maybe led on to believe or to belie that you guys or that they not you guys but they were saying more stuff against just the mecha things or the resin printing or whatever it was that we were like hammering on about. That was not the case for the show. So if anybody that hasn't already listened to it, and we've turned a lot of people onto your show, into that episode specifically through ours. And I feel like that's great because more population crossover that we can get listener base is going to be good. I grew up making cars and planes and stuff in the 80s and 90s. And so my background isn't in the mecha stuff. My background is in doing, you know, like, you know, cars and whatnot, you know. But yeah, so but I know that there's way more, and I've done some interactions with IPMS, and Kyle, you too have done some had some interactions with the IPMS. It's I know that their stuff, it's like mostly what's available here in the States. I haven't gone to an AMPS show yet. I know that there was one when I went to MFCA this year. There was one at the same time, like coinciding on the East Coast. And so there was a lack of armor at that show. But the experiences that I've had with it have been kind of mixed. Not necessarily bad per se. I'm not trying to say negative things. And I don't know if my podcast recordings in the past have led people to understand that I don't have negative feelings towards any of the contest holders. Joel, you have been working or have worked with the IPMS in Carolina, right? North Carolina?
North Carolina and Virginia, the ODO show. And it's not IPMS, but NCMSS out of DC.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That was another organization since like 2016, on and off for a hot minute.
Okay. How did you get started? Did you just like find out like I about IPMS like I did organically from, you know, making models and interacting with the world, or and how did you get into?
It was like from a local hobby store, pretty much just kind of explaining, you know, what IPMS is. We started the Gundam build meet at our local store because our IPMS chapter was meeting at that store to do build meets. And when I got into scale modeling, I was like, you know, I want to see if there's like any cool clubs or anything like that. Because, you know, you kind of see a little bit of it in Build Fighters. And that was the show that, you know, at the time really got mm-hmm. me into scale modeling. And so learning about IPMS was pretty cool. Definitely stole their meetup idea to have Gundam meetups, which just overran the group at that point, which was kind of funny. They were meeting like once a month. And then when we started the Gundam group, it was once a month, every 2 weeks, every week, and sometimes like multiple times a week. But they're really accommodating of, you know, Gunpla and Mecha, because that community was kind of already there. It was already existed, you know, in those local meetups. But the first show was actually where I met Brandon. On our podcast, mm-hmm. the Cutting Mat podcast, that's where we actually like first met and like hung out for the first time, was at an IPMS show. And he, you know, and that was actually one of the first times I remember seeing anything for Gundam at, you know, or hearing about Gundam at IPMS. So I just always thought it was kind of normal until eventually going to out of state shows. I was like, oh shit, it's not. They didn't even know what Gundam is in half these shows. Mostly.
That's definitely a thing you'll notice, is not all IPMS events are created equal when it comes to branching out beyond traditional models. Like out here in the Midwest, they know what it is, but that's as far as like, they're like, that's a couple. They know that's a Gundam. They don't know what it takes to make it. They don't know what the ins and outs are into it. They don't really know how to judge it, but that's about it. Like, right. Yeah, that's a Gundam. You go sci-fi. You don't even get your own category. I think at the Roscoe event we had last year, I want to say we had our own event, which Mike had entered his Musaru Cup Gundam into. Dave, I have a question for you later regarding your experience with that, because you were the representative during that year. But yeah, I mean, depending on what event you go to, I know on the East Coast, especially in your area, Joel, between Old Dominion and North Carolina, as well as DC and all that, they have a lot greater understanding of that. And there are people that are actually somewhat experienced that judge. I mean, I know you have judged for the Gundam category as well. And I know on the West Coast, from those Gundam guys, Best of the West and Nevada, they have a lot more prevalence as well. But I think it's because in those communities, the Gunpla builders are ingrained in the scale model society. So IPMS locals are aware of it more, you know, East Coast, West Coast, but everybody in the middle between Texas and above, it's, you know, IPMS is traditional models. You're not going to find a lot of sci-fi, and mainly it's because the scarcity of events, as well as just the communities don't exist.
Kyle, even was it before the before the advent of the internet, when I was growing up, I followed comic books pretty strongly, and I love mecha. I got introduced to it when I was mad young, but you didn't see the kits for it at all. Like, you knew that they were made, but they just never were in the stores. And if you did happen to find one, like a diamond in the rough or whatever, it was astronomically priced for what your little teeny tiny pocketbook from the Midwest has, you know, like, that's why you buy the Revels and the monograms and the, you know.
Distribution is definitely a thing, because, you know, outside of Chicago, the major ports are California and New York. So, you know, when you have coming, you know, kits and stuff coming from overseas that are for a already niche community, you know, and you're in the middle of nowhere, Midwest, you're not going to be in that demographic. So the shops aren't
buying that stuff. And kind of until recently, also, Kyle, they haven't really marketed the genre to, for lack of a better term, Western, you know, in states or English speaking. So, Dave, you're a lot closer over there, and I know Australia has like a lot of variety. They have a ton of model shops from listening to you guys. At least that's what it sounds like. Yeah. But what is it like for exposure over there? You know, you've been around. You've seen its tides change.
At your normal round of the mill model shows, it's not a great deal of exposure compared to when the Gundam builders sort of stay in their own little circle and do something. It used to feel to me it was a lot more sort of underground, or Gundam building was a lot more underground. Indeed, I think it was. And with the type of builders that are building it, also they're more adept at using social media and interact through social media and do their interaction that way. So there's not a lot of the traditional Gundam clubs, as you see, modeling clubs as such. And I don't know whether I could extrapolate the same that same worldwide, but I have a sneaking suspicion it is. So if you rock up to and there is an exception to this, which I will name shortly. But if by and large, if you rocked up to a normal model show with your Gundam to sort of put in for competition, the only category you'd find is Gundam Mecha, all in the one category, it would be Gundam Mecha Science Fiction, all in one category, and all just chucked in there, which really annoys the absolute heck out of me in so many different ways. All that swearing is...
Of course, you can say fuck shit all the fucking time, man.
Shit, okay.
Blue collar as they come.
Yeah, baby.
The shit I've said on this podcast.
Hang on, let me switch my hat.
Now I'm back into podcasting gear a little bit there.
No, you should have been. Yeah, I was wondering what the fuck is going on. Here, I'll put my blue collar punk hat on.
Oh, there you go. It really annoys the fuck out of me, and I'll explain why. Because first of all, when these model shows have a category, they normally have someone who sponsors a category, so it's not costing them money to pay for the trophy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why not have the three sort of true categories for Gundam? With science fiction, why not break the science fiction up so you have science fiction TV movies / science fiction whatever? And that's not even to talk about the poor people who do, you know, Warhammer and all that sort of brand completely sort of forgotten about and pushed to the side. And it's just so myopic and so much of a sort of gatekeeping mentality. And particularly when you think that there are quite a few builders, I mean, who have gone from Gundam to your traditional modeling and vice versa as well, such as Self Prime. We're just not catering. We're deliberately excluding a part of our hobby. Why is such an inclusive hobby excluding a certain segment of the hobby? It just blows my mind. It's so unfair. It's, you know, everything. I mean, let's have a look at sort of sales, for example. So Bandai last year, 2022, $100 billion yen in worldwide sales, which is, I think that's $676 million US worldwide last year. Let's have a look at Games Workshop last year. £414.8 billion in sales worldwide.
UK, yeah.
So there's a huge market out there of which the traditional modeling market is only a poofteenth of about this size.
Mm-hmm.
About as big as a bee's dick in comparison.
I will say, well, Dave, the argument against 40K is, in terms of sales is, and Joel can attest to this, most 40K connoisseurs, for lack of a better term, don't paint their figures. Like, they buy them for the, like, the gameplay and the tabletop aspect.
Sure.
It's also very expensive. But so, not to disclude 40K from the model sphere, it's just, sadly, even within their own neck, not many people actually like model and paint their armies as much as just buy them and collect them. I'm a victim of that. I have a couple of armies and I just don't even paint. I haven't even played the game. I want to, but there's no communities local to me without going to Chicago where I'm like, I want to learn how to play 40K. But it's just, it's an investment that then you have to find a community. I feel for the 40K guys more because a lot of them live solely on the internet as a community rather than having interpersonal relationships in person. And I feel like
they live on the internet and also they gather around their local shops as well, which is the local, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's there are sort of some clubs where they sort of go off and well, there's another segment of the community we've also haven't sort of really touched on too deeply as well, and that's the war gaming, not just in, you know, fantasy or that.
The tabletop,
You know, where they build models to sort of, you know, play their war games and stuff, you know, the old Napoleonics and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the last time we saw some of those guys have their armies on the table to be, not even just to be judged, but just purely to be looked at. You don't see it at a general modeling show. You have to go to a specific sort of wargaming show. And I know some people argue, well, you know, well, that crowd have got their own shows they do and Gundam have got their own shows they do. No, I want to see everything. I want to suck up the entire hobby. I want to walk down those aisles and see groaning with model kits. I don't care what genre you build. I will walk and appreciate and enjoy looking at all of them. And I want to see all of them because I don't know what's going to inspire me next.
Exactly, yeah, because I go to IPMS. I get inspired by traditional modelists all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit, that's a great way of using stick. I want to do that. And plus, the skills you use in traditional modeling can be carried across pretty much 40K, Gundam, all of them above, sci-fi.
100%.
Know, same brush, all that. So, you know, I've watched traditional models like, you know, Night Shift. I always get to Martin. I've watched a lot of his videos. I've watched a couple of other Maniac. I've watched her when she's building diorama and stuff. There's so much to glean from those that I can use in my genre of scale modeling. So, I mean, I'm with you. I go there and I get inspired by it. I may not build a plane ever in my life, but doesn't mean I don't look at a plane and go, that's impressive. Yeah. What did you do to make that? Like, can I apply some of those skills to mine? Yeah.
Kyle, I know you're building that. I know you're building the truck right now, Kyle, but next time you're up in the Moosaroo lineup, it's going to be a plane. I know it. You're just jinxed yourself.
Well, I got that zero that we were building. I roughed everything in and it's in a box somewhere. I don't know where I put it. I put it further from my distance because it's no longer a priority. So I'm like, you can go way over here in the office.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be done for a while.
Yeah. I mean, like I've built an M1 and stuff like that and Abrams, but it just, for some reason, whenever I build a traditional model, I feel confined to it. And I'm like, oh, I got to make sure it's real and all this. I don't want to get too creative with that. While with a Gundam, I feel like I can be creative. And that kind of leads to the question I have for you, Dave. What was your experience when you did your Moosaroo Cup when it was the Gunpla for that year? You know, how'd that process work for you versus you used to?
That's really, really, really interesting because I'd never seen, done a Gunpla kit before, and you know, it arrived as part of the Moosaroo Cup. I opened it up and I thought, my God, where do I start? I had no idea. The instructions and the way you build are completely different to the way you normally build a model kit. I was confused about how just having it bare bones straight out of the kit, straight out of the box is acceptable in the Gunpla world. I didn't understand how that worked. But the more I sort of
street building.
Yeah. The more I dived into it, the more I go, oh, this is really cool. And in the end, I ended up doing it the traditional models way. So every part of the model is actually sprayed. It's got some paint on it. There's no sort of bare plastic in there whatsoever. And at the other end, when I came out the other end, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm thinking, geez, and every time I go to a model shop now, I'll look for something that will perhaps pique my interest, like another suit to buy. And I haven't found one yet, but I'm still looking.
That's okay. And that's, I feel like, maybe, I don't know. The thing is, like, it's all subjective. It's all up to the viewer, you know. It's all subjective or object. I don't know, whatever it is. It's all up to the person that's going to do it. If you're not excited about what you're going to build, you're not going to build it regardless of whatever. And I think that kind of runs across the board, you know, on all fronts for modeling.
Right? Oh, exactly. I mean, it's a hobby, especially doing it to enjoy and relax and take stress out of your life. I mean,
so much drama lately. It's ridiculous.
but that's part and parcel of, you know, being the human condition, because, you know, I've been in a whole heap of other clubs, you know, like the sporting clubs and motorcycle clubs. And there's no sort of thing anywhere in the world that doesn't come with it sort of drama from, you know, now. It's just human nature. It's the way it is. So long, and I'm happy to let it, you know, sort of bubble along, so long as it's leading to a better outcome in the end. If we're having all these huge arguments about IPMS and about, you know, how plastic hobby should be represented, and it doesn't lead to a better outcome, then we've done ourselves a disservice. Mm, we need to, let's, I'm trying to use an American sort of term, we need to sort of move the ball forward down to the end zone to get, you know, something that's beneficial to everybody. Everybody, I'm talking science fiction builders, Gundam builders, the whole shebang.
You mentioned shows that you see down in Australia where you'll see, if you see Mecha or Gunpla or Gundam or whatever it is, it represented, it ends up being lumped into like a sci-fi, you know, amalgam, just a single category. The first time I went to an IPMS event in New Jersey here when I lived still in Brooklyn, it was that way, where it was like figures, sci-fi, mecha, everything was all together. And it was like you were competing against like a Boris Karloff as, you know.
I know.
And it's like a little like robot here, and they don't even know what they're looking at per se. Like, I did pretty well that year because one of the mechas that I happened to put in was like a diesel punk spin back themed like German World War One marking kind of like mecha, diesel mecha thingy that I made. A bunch of extra armor, a bunch of customization, a bunch of crazy cool shit. It looked really good, cool camo. So I still scored pretty well because it looked a lot like a tank, I think, you know, right?
Yes,
and it fit the robot thing, right? So, and, you know, but next year after that, though, however they progressed, they added a Gundam thing. And then the next year after that, they added more separated things. And then they have like a youth division too now, which is great. So the local stuff is getting better. Mm. But I feel like there needs to be even more education going on. I've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again, that we're, me and a few of the people here local by me in Jersey are going to get a booth at the next coming IPMS.
In Jersey.
Like, bro, I am from Iowa. I have no accent.
I've been to Iowa, man. There's nothing there but fucking cornfields. That's it.
Brother, right. Man. I know. I should have went to Nats in Omaha. Because I'm from right there, but next year, you know, I'll be in Madison. I spend a lot of time in Madison as well. But even like my family has accents. I don't have an accent. I don't know why. I lost it somehow. I don't know where I lost it, but I never picked it up again. I don't have one out here either. My wife, oh my gosh. Anyway, it's the Joyce. But I digress. So the movement out here has been doing good, and we're going to try and get a booth to open up a little bit more outreach and try and do a little bit more community work where we can talk to more modelers, like some of the people that go there and just do like submarines or whatever. Maybe they can get a chance to come over. In my own club, the MFCA, which is kick ass, I keep ripping them. They're fucking awesome. The guys in that club are fantastic. All the members all talk to each other about everything, and I love everybody there in my group. It's fucking great. They're a fantastic group of people to interact with. So I feel really blessed being where I am that I have that, because I know, like what Kyle says and like where I was before, that doesn't really exist. So
yeah,
people out there, I know that you can, Joel, right? You can talk to people with IPMS to help get clubs started and stuff. Is that right? Do you know that, Joel? Do you know that at all? Or
Yeah, so so definitely something I think we should stray from a little bit is the ongoing everyone's personal experience, because everyone's personal experience is different. The conversation that hasn't happened, that needs to happen, is actually more how to combat and resolve some of these issues, because that is something that's not really talked about. Because every time you hear about IPMS, whether it's a podcast or YouTube, it's always, you know, there's no Gundam table, there's no blah, blah, blah. It's the same experiences that sci-fi had very, you know, way back in the day in IPMS. It's mainly at the time it was an airplane model club. So the introduction of brand new sci-fi kits was so foreign. And the biggest part of that is education. That's how I was able to take, you know, what would have been just a lumped mecha category in ODO to an actual subdivision by scale, you know, in Gundam, because I was able to sit down, talk with the head judges and say, you know, here's a crash course on Gundam. It's not just, you know, a easy snap kit, which, right. You know, tanks and military have those now too. So there's not really a dig growing contest anymore. It's just the lack of education, and not so more of like having the expectation of 60 plus year old guys are going to know about this, you know, anime or, you know, Gunpla or what. They're not, of course, they're not going to know what it is. And if you don't have the conversation with them, you go in, you enter and say, oh, there's no Gundam category, that was a bust, but hey, it was fun. Even placing, I think I placed third in the mecha category and Brandon placed first in a couple others like miniatures and stuff. We use that as an opportunity to actually speak with the head judge and the organizer and say, hey, here's the deal. We've got 30 kids that want something in person. They want a sense of community and belonging in the scale modeling world. And they are open to, you know, any type of medium. Let's get some representation. We can walk through judging. We can apply any system. We can help you through, you know, the hard initial, like, bah, humbug, Chinese robot stuff that happens a lot. And really get down to, it's a scale model. 9 times out of 10, we're doing the same techniques, if not better. And that's also another method we had done before, is that we actually had people show up to tank an airplane guys and be like, look, you know, it's not that hard. It's just people aren't into that medium. They're into this new medium. And that's something where even right now I'm working with one of the national chairman members, Jeff Hearn, to actually do for what Machine Krieger did this year at Nationals. We're actually working on a plan to do that with Gunpla. So that way we can kind of do the same thing we did at ODO. We injected over 100 models to where it was the massive discussion during the judging panel. The organizer kind of gave, hey, in the 15, 20 years, we're not going to be around speech. And then at that point, there's no members. There's no one, you know, handling the snuff, keeping the flag alive. And that's not going to happen if no one's willing to have that conversation from both ends of saying, hey, we see that you're doing scale modeling. It's just with a different medium that we're not used to. Tell us more about it. It's having that initial conversation to where I don't hear a lot of people talking about those kind of experiences or even initiating that on themselves, because we all want to see the change. And you can get 10 people to go to an IPMS booth, but if someone's not talking with everyone there, including, you know, attendees, organizers, judges, sponsors, nothing's going to change, or we're going to be in kind of this redundant loop of just IPMS said mecha bad, blah, 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 you know, like, and vice versa, to where Gunpla's still seen as this, you know, what was sci-fi back in the 70s. And that's something where I didn't know that until me and Jeff had a very, very long phone conversation. But he kind of gave me like a history lesson. I'm like, that's literally the same shit Gundam is going through right now. It's literally what happened with sci-fi. And it's something too where if the willingness to change, we could do this big event of Nationals that we're playing, and we can get every Gunpla YouTuber, store, you name it, involved, right?
Right.
And if the larger people at, you know, powers to be, in a sense, don't want to kind of accept that, then that's going to give, it's going to be really telling of what the future of IPMS and other scale modeling organizations that may not be underneath the IPMS flag but have the same length and age range and membership, a lot of those are just going to dissolve. It's going to suck. Because, like, I mean, I get it, you know. Like, I get, looking at Gundam for the first time, you're like, what the fuck is that?
That was me.
And I've had those conversations, like, and I've had those at ODO. I also had some dudes say some kind of wild shit about it to where it's like, okay, bud, not here, not right now. Also, you know, I got 20 years on you, bud. But like, it's something too, imagine. Where like, I, where once people are willing to open up, that's been the biggest change. Because like, again, at NCMSS 2019, Best of Show was a Gundam model kit. It went past every military scale model, and dudes were pissed. And I was like, you know what? Fucking skill issue, bud. You should probably get better at doing your model kit if you want to feel that salty about it. But at the same time, it goes to show that like once the biggest weapon and the biggest like positive change you can do is educate. Yeah. Cause again, like in 20 years, you know, I'm going to be 50. I want a scale modeling club to go to and hang out with with everyone shit. And like, yeah. I want that to still be around.
Well, Joel, you mentioned it takes both sides. You know, we're asking a lot of IPMS while doing nothing in response, you know, and I kind of poked about this during the previous episode, was it's a call to arms to Gunpla builders as well. Like, you want to be recognized. You can't just throw, you know, change at a wall and expect somebody else to pick it up. Like, you got to get in there and hand it to somebody. Yeah. You have to be present. I was one of three people that showed up at the Roscoe event and even at the other IPMS, like, besides the Butcher event in Chicago. It's really the only place I've seen more than five Gunpla models on the table of five different builders at that too. Most of them were done by two people. So you're like, okay, how can we say we're here, get acknowledge us if we barely even show up to the events? Like, I agree. So it has to work both ways.
Yeah. You can do a lot of damage with five people, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot. It's not 100 models. It's not a record-breaking thing. But five people's going up and really being like, hey, like, mm-hmm. We get it. You know, we're doing the same stuff. Let me talk to you about this. Let's, you know, let's kind of go over it and really go over a game plan to bring in more. No one's going to say no to more members of their club, right? You know, especially younger kids that are going to build, you know, more techniques, more point of views, you know. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely something too where that's how we got the reactions at, you know, ODO and IPMS and the show in DC was just these clubs were really willing to listen. And that's the big thing is, you know, you can scream, hey, Gunpla's, you know, very valid, you know, medium until you're blue in the face. And if the other party just doesn't want to hear it, the next thing to do is start your own club and just surpass them, you know, and especially that's the move because again, like, you know, cool. Do you really want to be a part of a club with like 10 grumpy old dudes that don't even want to listen to anything you want to say? And you've made that effort. Go start your own club. I mean, we did that with the Gunpla community. And then it got to a point where it was like, you know what? Like, we have a lot of IPMS dudes really getting into this and like really kind of excited about the medium because they can paint a Zaku to look like a World War II tank and vice versa. Yeah, it works really like, well. And that's, I mean, that's like the biggest thing I've done and is like, hey, we're going to do a group build where we take Gundam kits and make them paint them in military paint scheme. There's nothing wrong with that. They're still they're still touching the product at that point. And that's where mm-hmm. we right now for next year in Nationals, we have a very unique opportunity to where I've kind of canoodled a national chairman to be like, hey, we're going to inject Gunpla into national IPMS because all, again, the other thing too is,
okay. I was gonna say, are you talking like 2024 Madison?
Yes. We're going to be there.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I'm going to be there. Kyle's going to be there. I'm going to be there.
I'm going to drag Pabs with us, too.
I'm going to be there as well. So
yeah, I was going to say, Dave's going to be there.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of, like, announcement of that. Like, this is a thing that I got the chance to talk with him. And we kind of, like, and he's had a similar experience where, like, he recognizes Gunpla is dope and it is what it is. But there's not enough of a national charge of, you know, again, the Machine Krieger thing was tight, right? But it needs to be overwhelming to where all the hot, like the true higher ups go, oh shit, okay. So this is something there where, I mean, you know, besides, you know, what I've been through in the past, this is like reignited a flame under my ass to even get my channel back up and started. So that way we can actually have these like these like call to arms, because it's not going to be, it can't just be me. It can't just be me and even the boys in the podcast. It has to be every single person. Again, like I said, company, YouTuber, anyone involved that gives a shit about the future of the hobby. This is it, because guess what? Nationals takes an IPMS. It's something again where like it's not just, you know, the flop out dick thing where you bring in 100 models. Going to be where I'm speaking with all the head judges and being like, here's a crash course on Gundam, here's the different scales, don't worry about references, don't worry about this, it's purely scale and skill based application, because all the references are subjective because they don't actually exist. So there's no military type, shit like that. It's getting past that barrier, which is so easy to do, because the best way I can sit there and try and explain, you know, the different scales and the branding and all this other stuff.
Right.
Ignore that. Just speak in terms they already know, like painting, seam, you know, these big kind of hype words. They say, oh shit, you do that too. Oh, okay, cool. Just like a space, you know, shit like that really works. But no one's. I also think too is that not.
We got mold lines. Oh, we got mold lines.
We got mold lines too, dog. We got resin kit.
Did we just become best friends?
I mean, it works though. Like seriously, that shit works, and like that's how I again gotten to where we can get this chance for us. Is because
that's fantastic.
You know, it's something to where, like, I think, you know, an opportunity like this, a big, massive group build to where, again, if you're a tank guy, pick up a model, a Zaku, whatever, it doesn't matter. Pick up a mecha looking thing. It doesn't even have to be a Gundam model kit and paint it like a military thing. And all your friends are going to think you're badass. And like, it's going to help everyone. It's going to help the economy. Hurt no one.
Dude, right. There's so many other lines of robot models or robotoid models or whatever out there that people can pick from too, that like people just don't know Rumble about. Check. Even Gundam dudes don't know about that. Or even not even Macross, you know. We're talking like Doug Rum or you know, like the Scope Dogs and the Fatties and those guys, right? Though that's sweet. Yeah. That's very much like an armored machine, you know. It's really
true.
And
the scaling, there's a lot is of options.
Too. Yeah, right.
Yeah. There's a lot of options. It's gonna be convincing people to do the next step instead of just saying I had XYZ time at IPMS and that's the end of the story. It has to be, hey, this experience happened, that's super cool, but here's what I have in mind to actually kind of, you know, overcome that or educate on that situation to where it's beneficial for the organization, the members of the organization, and for the future of said, it can be IPMS and whatever, kind of the future of that organization, because they are, I hate, it's so grim, but the organizer of ODO, Chaz, had this great speech. It's the end of the vlog video that I took. He had this great speech about
Stuart, right?
Accepting, huh?
Was it Stuart? Stuart, I can't remember his last name.
No, Chaz. I
Stuart. Chaz, okay.
About Stuart, literally, Stuart. You know, we need to accept Gundam. We need to understand that it's, again, very similar, if not sometimes more advanced techniques going on. And that also everyone is on a timeline. Like 20 years is the max. Like we don't make change in the next couple of years. Some of these dudes are out the door, unfortunately. They're hitting their timeline. And it's where something where a lot of us and our generation needs to kind of say, if we want this around, we have to do something. Mm-hmm. Or if we don't want around, then we just need to make that known. I'm very much, I would love to have it around because I think it's a great organization and does a lot for the, you know, communities.
Yeah.
And it's something too, where again, it's been going on since scale models, you know? So like if sci-fi can get over this hurdle and have a seat at nationals and have these big, large subsections and clubs, so can Gundam, so can Mecha, so can all this newer stuff. It's just learning from those lessons and trying to fix them now before it becomes too late.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, other shit like global warming.
Yeah. I will say a lot of things too that people are forgetting when it comes to IPMS is it is a volunteer system. Like, if no one volunteers for this, no one will do it. So if you want to complain, you need a judge. Yeah. You need a judge. You want people to have spot, like, you know, Dave mentioned sponsor thing. You need a sponsor. Like, what's a sponsorship? What, $60 to pay for the trophies? You know, I'm sure we spend more than that in the kits. So if you want to see more categories, throw your money on the table. You would have spent that on plastic sitting in your backlog. It takes people to do these things. So get out there, volunteer, learn from the judges so you know the IPMS system, then apply it to the GUMPLA categories since you have a background in it. Like, they need these things. It's, you know, Joel's right. We need to have the conversation, but you also need to be willing to give up your time to make this happen. Because, you know, like Joel is in the East Coast, as well as Brian. Dave's out in Australia. I'm in the Midwest. Like, we work in our little pockets to make this happen, but it's up to us in those local areas to inject ourselves. We can't just throw it on, especially since, and Dave mentioned this earlier, technology is a thing that most IPMS leadership is unfamiliar with. They forget social media exists. They forget the power of YouTube and things like that like has a huge audience. It's away from IPMS. So you have to get there in person. Go to these events. Talk to them in person. Have these conversations. You can't just say it in a podcast and expect it to osmosis. Make or, it into the atmosphere. You got to get into those events and talk to them. And be there present in person.
And something too that really, again, like has helped membership and show off, you know, showing off these clubs is like if you're going and you know someone that does a YouTube channel or, I mean, everyone has a cell phone nowadays, take some cool pictures and videos of the models there, you know, just the club or something and share those experiences. Like people love seeing that kind of shit. It's free, right. You know, it's cool. Like you're going to show this cool club and I think that the technology hurdle's there, right? It's definitely there. I think right now, again, you know, with the opportunity that we have for nationals next year is something where every single Gundam store should be lining up and messaging whoever they need to message. I'm sure you just go on the IPMS website and contact someone, one of the, you know, sponsor event or whatever, and getting behind this national show because – like you said, a simple sponsorship of the Mecha or Gundam category or the group build would be massive. And if two or three companies showed up and you know, really said, hey, we want to be at IPMS Nationals.
500 categories. Beat the plane, guys. 500 categories.
I mean, it works, though. And it's, I mean, not for nothing. It's such a large market. Of just untapped potential, you know, to where like if a company like, you know, USA Gundam or Gundam Plan or whoever showed up and just brought a simple convention, you know, normal setup, bring some kits, some, you know, some tools, maybe share some, bring some of those fancy paints that a lot of military and modelers don't know about that we have in Gundam Land and showed off what they can do. I mean, you're looking at tens of thousand dollar days in vending. It would be dumb not to at this point. And that's the kind of push that they're asking for. I mean, this is directly from from Jeff is literally saying, hey, we want Gundam here. So like companies, you know, band, whoever needs to show up, this like next year is going to be massive for whoever does. Like, I wish I had this set up to go out and do that, but I'll be helping judge and cheer like that. So, but it's definitely more, you know, like it's one of those things too, where if we really want to see a medium, not just Gunpla, Mecha, scale modeling, resin, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah. 40 machine.
Why computer, not?
Like all that stuff.
Yeah. Why not get involved with what the largest organization in the United States with scale modeling and kind of take it over? I mean, not for nothing. I know for sure a lot of these dudes are tired as fuck. Like, yeah, they're tired.
And look, advocating at the ground level works because when Marissa Mars was on our show, on the Gunpla show, she perfect example of that. So you've got Scale ACT model show coming up the 11th of November in Australian Capital Territory, run by ACT Scale Modeler Society. She went to them and said, hey, look, you've got Gundam and Mecha, but there should be really three categories of Gundam at an absolute basic level of the show. And the show organizers listened to her passion and said, okay. I mean, it wasn't costing the show that much more to sort of open up another three categories. And through
it her. It doesn't cost anything, it's free.
And because that way you're getting more people entering your model, so you're getting more money to you anyway, the organizers of the show. Yeah. And so they listened to us, and through her, sort of advocating for it, there's now going to be three categories at the next Scale ACT show 2023.
Fantastic.
In Canberra, Australia. Oh, yeah. Come and join us.
it's really that easy, though. It's so easy to like set this shit up. I haven't heard anyone say, oh, I got pushed back when I try to have this conversation with anyone there. I just hear where it stops, where like, oh, there's just a Gundam table or a mecha table. That was it. Okay, what would you do? What'd you do to combat that? What'd you do to educate that on that? That's we need that kind of push now.
Yeah,
right. And you know, I talk about how it changed for me on here locally, and it seemed like magically, but it wasn't. It was Dan Moore talking to the people locally.
Yeah,
the
club, someone's got to do it.
Jersey Club. No, exactly. And he was affiliated with Gundam Planet. But if those of you that don't know Dan Moore out there, go find Dan Moore. He's a great guy. Builds a lot of cool resin stuff now.
Yeah.
But he judged Gundam the competition for the IPMS regionally. He did a lot of work with those guys, expanding and getting to actually have the one first. Then it was just a one Gundam category that was just way overloaded. So he's like, all right, well, we got to do more. And it's just been, you know, a lot of that same thing you're talking about. Feet on the ground. Doing the work in the trenches to get it to change, and it does change. And
teach the judges too. That's critical. So they don't know what they're looking at. They're going to make a category, and then watch next year the categories will go away because like nobody showed up. We didn't know what the fuck we were looking at. It, you know, don't just start the conversation. Keep the conversation going. Joel mentioned education. Education is power. You know, knowledge is power. The more people know, the better it is. Plus, that's bridging the gap between old generation scale modeling and new generation scale modeling, because the communication needs to go both ways. You can learn skills from the experts of the time who've been doing this for decades, and then you can pass on knowledge of what they're looking at, because once you realize, oh shit, I got to glue this shit too. I still get rid of seams. I got molds. Stuff, you're like, now we're on the same plane. You are like me. We're the same. And I think, oh, that's what I'm looking at here. Like Joel was saying, get rid of scale. Fuck cares if you're looking at 144 or you're looking at 100. Same thing for planes.
Doesn't matter.
The fundamentals are still the same. You still have to do the same core construction on it. Mm-hmm. Yes, glue is not necessarily required, but if you want it to look good and be like gold, you know, in the first place, you're going to want to have to apply certain things like that to make sure you get proper cleanup. And, you know, so I think that's another thing we have to make sure we mention is don't just come out there and request categories. Again, volunteer your time. Teach the judging, learn about IPMS judging, integrate into that, because they need those judges. They can't just create these categories and then pull off the limited judge staff they already have and cover these additional categories. That's why they group sci-fi together, because they're like, shit, we don't have anybody to judge. We got to make this easy for ourselves and still have something. So we'll give them something to work with our limited resources, because that's the big thing that IPMS has been struggling with, resources. They don't – people show up to the event. That's the whole freeloader thing that David, you know, was Dave the president, had a really bad time correlating. Was he didn't like the people show up to events but didn't contribute to the success of the event by actually volunteering their time, because that's something that's necessary to keep IPMS alive. A lot of people just show up, enjoy the benefits, pay their dues, put them all on the table, and that's it. But I was like, who's judging though? Like, who's giving that time to allow those people to get those first, second, third, or you know, gold, bronze, silver, you know, depending on how the IPMS is managed. All of them run off of first place, third, but it's right. Because of volunteers, much like PBS, it's volunteers like you that make this a success. So, you know, give up your time.
So, something that we initiated at ODO and even kind of before it at like previous RDU cons was, you know, finding people that were interested in IPMS, just as like general, right? You know, whether it's convincing your friend to kind of just come along for the ride, or if, you know, they're a scale monitor, being like, hey, you know, it'd be cool to, you know, see what someone else, you know, kind of thinks of your model kit, is something that I always do is whenever I bring friends with me, I always encourage them to volunteer to judge. Because at every single show, there's always going to be a call for volunteers, whether it's, you know, hey, we just need second eyes for this category, or hey, we need a head judge for this category. You can be taught how to judge for IPMS in less than 30 minutes. It's not a lot of criteria, but it's shadowing someone that's been doing it for a couple of years and kind of see how they do their, you know, judging process and following another judge. Before I even did, you know, Gunpla judging, I was helping judge sci-fi, and I was shadowing someone that, you know, has been the head judge at like nationals, you know, all that kind of shit about sci-fi. And I kind of took what I could from that to apply it to Gunpla for when we were ready to have that conversation. But everyone that I've kind of, you know, encouraged to say, hey, go volunteer for random, WB, Gundam, sci-fi, whatever you were into. Cars is another one that I learned how to judge. Just because I thought it was cool and there's some cool cars there. I was like, you know, I want to judge them and look at them and shit. And I learned so much with that when it came to, okay, we're cool with Gundam. How do we judge it? I was able to take all the ways that I was taught by my local chapter and judges and kind of put it in their language and make Gundam such an easy thing to judge. I was able to train them on how to judge it to where they were shadowing me. And I was like, hey, you know, look at this. There used to be a seam line there and it was god ugly. Now it looks dope. And light bulbs are going off. Because, and then also they see that willingness of, oh shit, you actually want to help and you're under the age of 30 or 40, whatever it may be. But also it's like, cool. Yeah. Like, cool. Like now you kind of see how we're judging stuff. Can you, then that conversation, that's where you can strike and be like, oh, here's how we can do it for Gunpla. So that way you kind of understand what's going on to it. And that has been like 100% success rate for me. And others too. I've kind of had those conversations with, you know, people in different state, and they've done similar things. And now they have, you know, like the three categories. Even there's some clubs that have more than three categories for Gundam, which is awesome.
Yeah. Give up your time. Like, don't just show up to the event and expect them to cater to you. You kind of, it's a give and take. Give and take is that's the way all the world works. It's not, nothing comes from free. So you have to contribute.
Yeah, definitely, Kyle. I agree with you there. I think that I'm going to this year, not in addition to having my little fancy little booth to talk to people, I'm going to maybe I'll have to put stuff in for display only and judge with the Gundam guys. I know I want to get my DeLorean in the sci-fi end of things, but I'll help judge the different Gundam categories maybe at this upcoming IPMS event. They'll have me. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally,
I've done enough
like,
critiquing and enough judging, and I've judged shit for Bandai. I've judged whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, I know my shit. So
we just need more people there enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's the big thing.
Yeah, I love talking to people. So it's a good thing.
But even though you're judging, it doesn't stop you bringing along just a whole heap of your Gundam kits anyway, just to put on display to not be judged.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring stuff for display. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying. I'll bring stuff for display instead of I want to put stuff in other categories for which is fine.
Well, we always talk about expanding your portfolio too. So go out there, buy some tanks too, or there, experiment. I could give a take. Everyone has to
What was it? What were you saying, Joel?
Oh, I was gonna say, so there's gonna be the like kind of, you know, show only table for Gundam and all stuff, but like the group build is gonna have its own separate thing. And that's where we really want like everyone. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, your fucking Leonardo.
I'm talking just regionally. I'm not talking nationals. When it comes to nationals, I want to talk to you, Joel, about that stuff because you know I have the all singing, all dancing crap of the world.
Oh, regionally. Oh, yeah. This is for nationals. Yeah. Nationals. Yeah. So, like, the idea for nationals, what I've been playing around with, because there's me and two others besides Jeff that are kind of like in the talks of like, okay, what's like a general idea we're going to do for the group build? And I really think that doing, you know, Gundam in a military theme would get so many people involved on both sides to where like it would be such a cool thing to see, you know, especially for an event like that, to where it's a relatable, you know, scheme or theme with a medium that people aren't used to. I think that's going to get a lot of people involved, but that's something where I want all of us to get together, every scale modeling podcast that's ever talked about Gunpla or IPMS and really using, you know, for lack of a better term, all of our, you know, clout and reach to get everyone we've ever beef aside or whatever drama, just getting people involved. Because at this point, like this can be such a huge fucking turning point for Gundam as a whole, like Mecha as a fucking whole. Like this is massive.
Yeah. Wish you a cup, but for Gunpla only. I don't know. Yeah. Do I put the two together? Don't get mad on me, Hamilton guys.
Yeah, I'm interested in that, Joel. I have lots of stuff that I could build in already that I could finish too. I haven't touched the Spartan in years, but that's massive and it's a whole other ball of wax. But I've always wanted to, because I've like probably just because my stepdad was way into Luftwaffe for me growing up, watching movies and talking to him and building models with him. I have a whole book on warplanes of Luftwaffe, and I would love to do like one of those fun color schemes on a different mecha. I think that there's some different things that could be played around with there. I think that's a great idea to do a group build like that and have that kind of like a bridge a gap if there is one to be bridged.
Yeah. I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd get a lot of people out of retirement on both ends, especially seeing for such a positive push for such an institutional organization, you know, sort of, you know, around. I mean, a lot of scale modeling stores and shit wouldn't have started without the support of groups like that, or be where they are today without the support of local chapters. You know, I mean, tools and painting and a lot of companies that we just kind of see as companies probably wouldn't be doing as well. And we just want to see them do better, like have the industry just fucking explode. That'd be so sick.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, the industry's there and the fan base is already there. It's just a case of bringing it forward. That's all.
Just kind of locking it together.
And you guys know better more than what I do, you know, where all these sort of people hang out on the
shady
social media. Yeah.
Sure. Or are related through sponsorships and stuff. I'm sponsored by a couple different, you know, companies or soft sponsored anyways. And I'm happy to always talk to. So there's a few things that we haven't talked about yet. We haven't talked about how Joel is on the Cutting Mat podcast, and I haven't referenced that yet. And I feel horrible because Joel has his own podcast that he's on with Brandon and Big V Roman, and they used to have Bailey. He's gone now. They're still trying to get Tony Hawk. It's in the works. Those guys are great. They're a little bit off the rails sometimes, but it's worth a listen to catch a different side, yet another side of the hobby, the hobby that we all enjoy so very much. And
we're the chaotically stoned and sometimes drunk neurodivergent version of scale modeling, and it's fun. It also gets kind of deep sometimes.
Oh yeah, you guys hit some heavy topics too, and. You
know, oh, absolutely.
We started a little bit after you guys, and there was always that overlap. It was like, well, they talked about it. We don't want to talk, but we also want to expand because we really like what they, you know, what they, the topic that they brought. Oh, yeah, this is good shit.
It does seem like that carries over too. It seems like I don't even know if it's something that's intended or not, but like podcasts in the hobby podcast or whatever will tend to run along certain paths. So like,
yeah,
I don't know if Lincoln's making his rounds sometimes. Look, like with his first book, it seemed like Lincoln was like hitting all the podcasts, like binged around, and he missed us. But that was probably my fault, and topic driven or something like that, whatever it may be. It just kind of seemed just coincidentally like that. And I think it's kind of I don't know if that's just that we all are kind of vibing and catching and picking up on the social, like, you know, the psycho babble that's going on under the radar or whatever.
When you think about it, the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand, like you're saying, it's a scale modeling community, and it's always been a very, you know, communicative community, whether it's negative talks or positive talks. Hopefully we can get more, like, you know, more positive talks, you know, regarding a lot of this stuff. But, you know, it's never gone too negative to where, you know, conversations can't be had to, you know, granted, there's a bajillion podcasts out there. But we're all kind of building and, you know, not building the same, but, you know, kind of going through the same motions with the outside world too. So a lot of topics kind of converge, you know, on similarity. But I think it's very important that the podcasts are happening and that people are making, you know, YouTube videos and just content on the internet. Cause like it's, you know, it may be flooded with a lot of the same stuff, but the people that are doing, you know, just different stuff or stuff they truly enjoy.
Now, I don't even so hold awesome. Up. Don't get me wrong. I don't see it as it being flooded or like there's any like copying or anything like that or whatever. I feel like it's just natural because like Dave knows too. You probably too, Joel. We record our shit and it takes four, sometimes six, 8 weeks sometimes for an episode to come out. Yeah. So it's not like these things are planned out. Stuff gets changed around all the time. So it's just kind of just the natural flow. Just like this episode that we were referencing in the show with Zach with. Dave's show on the bench was was recorded way before even the IPMS Nationals went down or like any of that crazy stuff. So
no, I mean, so like flooded as like people getting into like the hobby and just, you know, making like an Instagram or like a YouTube channel with like scale modeling content. We need more of that, you know, because it's going to take a lot of people to really make those impacts to where like people are actually seeing this stuff and more conversations are happening to where now, you know, it might be, you know, 10 or 20 scale modeling podcasts. Like when there's 100, a lot of people are going to start taking notice and a lot of people are going to be like, oh, so that is a thing. That is okay. You know, we want people to get that kind of the first hits free on scale modeling and really, you know, really delve into it.
I was going to hop in about how we need more people with how-to videos because since we're so spread out, even though the world's smaller, we're still spread out. That's great because I learned so much. Like I was talking to Brian earlier about how I'm making an explosion and I essentially watched a YouTube video of a boat builder. And I was like, oh, shit, that's how you make that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And I've had it like in my favorite list forever. Now I'm trying to build an explosion for a build. And I was like, oh, it was that video I saved. Let's rewatch it. And I'm like, that's how they did this. They put this here.
That's what I'm going to do with my channel is kind of like pick out things that I want to learn. But like my tutorial videos, me stumbling through it and like watching other people's videos.
I have thought about that forever and a day. Cause you know, like my whole persona is the Clueless Gumpa Builder. I was like, I should just make a Clueless Learns YouTube channel where I try new things. And then you just watch me shit the bed on the process.
I realize that's how I learned. Like the video that the soldering iron one was just a military scale modeling video that I watched and went, what if I taught people in my way?
Yeah.
But like, I just want to do that with other stuff. Cause like, you know, learning how to paint like minis and, you know, CFUB and shit like that. It's a lot of stuff I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff I want to try, but you know, I think it'd be better to kind of show like, you know, my take on learning it and what worked for me. And, but also showing like, you're going to fuck up, you know, learn from my mistakes.
It doesn't come off the first time. You're going to have to go through a trial and error process. I think the fact that I have no skill in AV whatsoever is what's deterred me from doing next. I'm just like, that sounds like a great idea. But it's like, I don't have any fucking camera work. I don't really know how to do any of this editing thing. I don't have an eye for this. It would look like so fucking pre-YouTube 2000s kind of YouTube. Everyone's doing it with a camera phone.
Fuck, I was
like,
it's coming back.
You got to keep up with the medium today. Like, I don't know. A lot of people want that level of finesse in people's, even if you're not good at what you're doing, the fact that you have good editing and all that takes you a long way. And I was like,
it does.
I don't have time to invest in that. I wanted to just do it as a fun idea. But if it doesn't have that caliber of like editing behind it, no one's going to watch it. And I was like, I'll just do it to myself. It's cool.
Stumble upon. So I've stuck with live streams as opposed to doing tutorial style videos or higher production videos because I just don't have the time to do all of it, or the drive, I guess I should say, to do all of it. Because you can make time if you really want something to happen, you'll make the time happen, you know. But like,
but you would have to learn it too, Brian, right?
I had programs that worked okay. It wasn't like fantastic, but I could have done just fine, you know, with the, you know, decent. All you need is like a half decent mic and a half decent camera that can kind of learn how to get your shit to stay in focus. You're fine. But that's just
camera. Look at this time lapse. Me cutting the same piece over and over again.
Over the shoulder,
the lighting.
Sometimes you get a little too much. I get a little overboard for what it is, but the happy medium is good.
I would get caught into the weeds of that. I'm like, okay, I gotta do the mood lighting and then over the shoulder, like, oh yeah,
I'm doing it. I'm really on like, so I, you know, 8 month long depression nap, finally waking up from it. But I really want to get back to to doing the Plamo Create videos, which was just the Plamo to, I always can't fucking pronounce it. The Tuscovari, Savari, I don't know how to pronounce it, but the old Japanese, it was a cable access show in a sense. They went around to different, you know, this is like 90s, early 2000s, to different hobby shops, you know, builders' homes, and literally two dudes and two cameras sat like down and were like, cool.
Predecessor of the what do they call that, the Korean one they do now on Facebook, on YouTube.
It was just like, I don't know, it was a lot cooler because like I'll post a link for it. It was a lot cooler because I mean, one, you know, shot on like a camcorder and shit, so it was pretty tight. But it was literally them going, you know, they would just hand them a model kit and be like, cool, do whatever you want with it. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what I want to do. And like, even like shoot some of it on a camcorder and, you know, fucking put it out on VHS tape and weird shit like that. But
No one can play it. They just buy it and own it.
Right?
I had a VHS just 20 years.
But like, it was such a cool concept. And like, honestly, that really got me into like scale modeling and like want to make like video content. And like, I kind of fell in love with it again. And this like push from the national shit to really get, you know, people into it, I think it might be a cool combo.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's not just a self driven aspect. There's other people that are going to glean from it. So even more motivated. Like, I can't just let other people down. Like, fuck me, I can let myself down, but other people are invested. It really pushes you to carry it home. Cause when it's just yourself, you're like, what the fuck do I care?
I also don't want to paint everything and do everything by myself. I want to just like record someone else doing cool shit and be like,
I'm in the zone. No, but you're doing all the work.
Whole crossover, too. We should catch Dave up. So we had a weird technical glitch. We lost Dave for a couple of minutes. We lost everybody except for me, actually, for a couple of minutes.
Brian survived the purge.
But that's okay. Because Chris is going to hate me for it. There's nothing I can do. It's just accidents. Like the technology, we had no control over it. Anyhow, it wasn't me, baby. It wasn't me. It wasn't anybody. But anyhow, so what we kind of transitioned to talking to Dave is content creators and the need for there to be more of those kind of like in general to continue to proliferate ideas. And there needs to be more of a resurgence because it's kind of stagnated a little bit. And it's hard to do, I guess, as Martin has... night shift has talked about
a lot going on in his life too.
Yeah.
The remodel and
pandemic when we all had a million hours at the bench, it was easy to just sit and make content. You know,
a lot easier said than done.
Did that. Yeah. I live streamed for multiple hours a day, like 5 days a week. It was like ridiculous at the amount of time and the amount of stuff that I did. I made so much cool shit. It was fan fucking tastic. I wish I could go back to it, but now I have to commute for like 4 hours a day to go make money.
Oh man.
Rub it in, guys. I had to continue my life like there wasn't a pandemic. Waking up the same time as I do now, going to a job site and continue on. I was like, lucky motherfuckers, I want to be home building models.
That's something too that I, you know, personally, you know, over the years, you know, 2016 is when I first started doing like content and shit. I definitely have regretted a lot of things that we now kind of take for granted. Like back in the day, I was like, oh, there's too many people doing reviews. It's lame. No one's being creative. You know, old man yelling at the clouds. No one's being creative nowadays. And now it's kind of the opposite. Like I would say I've matured a little bit. Also went to therapy. That was the big thing. But like learning that, like, no, we, you know, fuck it. We should, 100 more reviewers would be great because there's just more people talking about the thing. And like, you know, side note, you beginning my music production career of making beats and shit. It's something seeing it in a different medium and crowd and being like, damn, we need more people like shouting everyone from the rooftops and talking about this shit and just doing it regardless. If you don't like the style of content or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We should be thankful that people are just doing it, period. And that's something where I've kind of had like a, you know, fucking 360 Tony Hawk backflip on is, you know, really appreciating what we have versus complaining about a micro thing that you just don't like about how someone does their video.
Yeah. Got to have both sides. I mean, we were talking about the how to's, like Will Patterson does a bunch of how to stuff in the traditional side on YouTube. And the struggle of I've always had is there's like near nothing on Gumpla in terms of the more advanced techniques. Like they'll teach you how to get rid of seams and nubs and all that basic shit. But, you know, in terms of like scratch building parts or panel lining and all that, you've got maybe five people on the entire, you know, YouTube. And even then half of them have stopped making videos. That's Tim. That's Scott. The Ghost of Zeon, that's Justin, even Joel, you were doing some stuff like that as well. Pabs, like of the people I've named, Pabs is the only one that's still on the internet, but he's not making those videos anymore. Like Tim has he has other things in life. Same thing with Justin. Scott has moved on to other things in his life in terms of scale modeling. And, you know, like
we need more of that. Like people just dumping knowledge into the medium.
Something that kind of stopped me, and I'll be very like open and honest with what I kind of went through during that, was at the time, I mean, I didn't really recognize it, but there was a weird, weird perceived negativity about just making Gunpla content. I don't know. It kind of felt like weird for a hot minute. And like, I know for me, it was kind of like a personal thing, but I think we could definitely be a lot more encouraging and more vocal of wanting this content.
Yeah.
To where that maybe, you know, I mean, Scott's, you know, a lot of people are doing bigger things now, like running their own paint companies or whatever it may be.
This guy's hands full of SMS.
But like really encouraging people to kind of, you'd be like, hey, like someone should do this, wink, wink, and, you know, kind of have that little bit of a nudge versus so much of like, well, I like this reviewer because this one sucks because blah, blah, blah. Like, nah, let's talk about what we just want to see in general versus like complaining about the shit we've got already.
No, I agree. That's a good point. I mean, and Dave can kind of attest this when he's, you know, made the comment about how most Gunpla builders just build it straight build. And he's right. Like, so Dave, I don't know if you know this, but we have a taboo statement. So when we refer to a Gunpla builder as a straight builder, that's like a dirty hush hush word. Like when someone is labeled as that, that's like calling them basic. Like, oh, you just build it out of the box. Like I had a box builder. You don't do anything weathering. You don't do anything crazy. Like that's considered your basic builder. Not even really doing anything in terms of like custom or advanced, which I'll make the statement. There's nothing wrong with being a straight builder. Do you. It's your hobby. But just so Dave knows, in our world, when we call someone a straight builder, that's like an out of box builder with, you know, oh, what are you? You're nothing special. Like, oh, you're just a straight builder. Like, that's a bad term we use for people in our community.
Well, it depends. So there's a different thing, too. It's like there's snap building, which is just putting the model together and doing basic stuff to it. Then there's straight building, which is like, what would you consider that, painted, guys? Did you put it together and just basically paint this?
That's
just paneling.
Okay. I just call it building a model kit at this point. It's gotten so
weird. I know, but there's all these dumb fucking like terminologies for it that
I think something float, you know, that's kind of I've noticed it's deterred people away from the hobbies. Like a lot of the weird insider lingo per se like that, because if you go to someone out of the streets and be like, oh, you can straight build Gunpla or you can like snap it, they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about, bud? Can I just build this thing or not? Like,
right.
And it's a weird thing where it's like, cool, you know, I'm all for, you know, fun, cute nicknames or whatever. But like, I think we should just be encouraged people just to like fucking build them in the first place and then be like, oh, cool, you can paint it if you want, but like not give them a weird name or status because of it. Like,
yeah,
cool, you painted a thing. Sick.
The point I was getting at was, I think the reason why, and this could just be a bold assumption, we're not seeing a lot of people push the more advanced side in our particular branch of scale modeling versus like traditional models. You can find a video teaching you how to weather galore. I mean, Martin's got a bunch of different diorama building and all that. He's very good about showing you the steps of the process. But in the Gunpla community, there's like a huge riff between those who build at a very, what would be deemed quote unquote, a high level, very skill, you know, technical skill required, and then those who just snap build. It's like a huge rift. And I feel like snap builders want to be able to do that, but they don't know how to do that. And there's like a huge chasm that's been self-inflicted amongst the community. It's been created. And it's like, well, how do we make that chasm non-existent? Because it really is non-existent, because anybody can learn the same skills that Brian and I use, and same for you, Joel, and even Dave. They can learn some of the skills you apply in your models.
Well, that's going back to what was mentioned before. More content creators, the more content creators you've got, the more the word's going to get spread. I mean, as a content creator for podcasts, it constantly sort of winds me up that, you know, a YouTuber can get, you know, 211,000 views on one video, and my best show has got, you know, like 8,000 downloads.
It's the media, the media is different.
But and that's why it's been wonderful having all the new podcasts coming on, because it broadens the spectrum and makes it for a broader church. And if you're doing the same with your content creating on YouTube for Gunpla or Gundam, and I always get those terms still. Yeah, I can't figure out which one I'm supposed to use, but never mind. It only benefits the hobby.
True. And that's kind of like the cold arms where I'm like, if you know your stuff, hey, if you like me, I made every excuse in the book as to why I shouldn't make videos on YouTube because I don't know how to do editing. I don't think I'll have the same art style that most successful YouTubers make. And I was like, I put all that effort in, what's the waste? Like, I came with every excuse in the book, but you know, I'm only just not helping in this problem, in this situation where it's like, oh, I should make shit. Like, I know enough to be dangerous. Am I an expert? Fuck no.
But you know how to scratch a line.
Yeah, I know. Well, a podcast to me is, I don't think it's the same way.
Because a lot of people, again, like there's a lot of, we went over the numbers a little bit before in terms of sales. Like those are humans that are buying those things.
Yeah.
And again, like even referencing just, you know, the number statement of like, oh, you know, YouTube are going to have hundreds of thousands and a podcast can have whatever amount. It needs to be less about us versus them or this compared to that, and more of like, holy shit, 8,000 people have listened to a thing about scale money. Holy shit, 200,000 people have watched a video.
In a room together, like,
yeah,
we Abs is always telling us the numbers.
You would sell out a stadium.
Yeah, like, you think about that. It's like, that's a lot of people in one room. Like, oh shit, like that really gives perspective to the numbers.
Yeah, true.
And it's definitely something where, you know, I was definitely guilty of it back in the day on Instagram and shit. Everyone, it was a dick measuring contest of whoever, you know, had the most likes or followers or whatever it is.
Yeah.
When in reality, we should have been celebrating every win we could get, because that's just one step closer to more and more people finding out about this medium and this hobby that we all enjoy so much. And that's something that I'm really hoping we can kind of like get back to, whereas like those very much early years where people were just excited to see things. And I think that's like the love for it that like it got me into making videos, because I saw other people really just like enjoying what they were talking about. That's why I love Scale Modeling Podcasts, because it's just people talking about a thing they have. I mean, you're making a literal fucking podcast. It's so much work and bullshit that goes into it. And there's a bagillion things in the world you can talk about. But I think it's losing that kind of internal us versus them mentality before it turns into a fucking, you know, David Koresh compound situation, you know, FBI shows up and shit. Like, true. You know,
Branch Davidian up in this bitch.
Yeah. We don't want that.
Be my own deterrent. Like, well, I don't know how to edit, so I shouldn't make videos. Like, well, I can fucking learn. Paz will teach me that stuff. I mean, he knows.
Sure, buddy. There's talk to you, Joel. Fucking, I can learn. There's programs that you can use that are very straightforward. And you don't have to be crazy for like, you're absolutely right. There should be way more. Both of you, Dave, Joel, and all three of you, Kyle, all you guys are right. There should be more. I should be making how-to videos. I should be making a how-to video, not a how-to, but a build-along video of my Porsche so that other modelers out there can see how I approach the issues that come or that are inherent with this. Now, I've been talking with Julian from On the Bench. You might know him, Dave, and he has a Porsche as well. He has the Porsche as well. And we've been like kind of like lamenting a little bit and discussing some of the finer and more troublesome aspects of the kit, kind of like as we're working through it, which has been a super valuable thing. And it's like having my own YouTube video to reference, like talking to Julian and he's doing his thing, you know? So it's like, you know, you're right. I should, and everybody should, you know,
well, you should, because the first thing I do when I grab a kit now is I'll go to YouTube and Google if anybody else in YouTube has actually done an unboxing or a how to build on it, just to get ideas to see where the pitfalls are in those particular kits. So
yeah, it's, you know, some hardship. It's
there, and yes, you're right. We should be doing. I put my hand up. Haven't got enough time with what I'm doing now to sort of go down that rabbit hole. And there's plenty of other guys out there who are doing YouTube way better than I could ever sort of think to do. But absolutely, bring it on.
Nice.
And if you can't do it yourself, like, push your friends to do it.
Yeah.
Like, bully them into making YouTube channels if you need to. I mean, something that we started with our podcast is I'm making a zine. that like,
oh, right.
It's, the first issue is already out. It's already printed. The second one's going to be in the future. Ones are going to be articles of, you know, members of our, you know, Patreon community. And then outside of it as well, that are just doing dope shit that I want to see in print. So like, if you, if the medium that you kind of see is abundant, like, you know, pod or YouTube or podcast doesn't interest you, do something cool in a medium that does interest you about the hobby. If you're really passionate about it, I think that's also the big thing we forget is that, yes, we're all passionate about IPMS and, you know, the growth and everything of it. But a lot of people just want to buy a model kit, snap it and post online and that's it. And that's totally cool.
Yeah.
That's totally cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's something where like that needs to be encouraged a little bit more too when we talk about these things. Just be like, hey, if you're just a casual listener or whatever, enjoy that shit. Fuck it. You know? Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
You don't have to carry the struggles on your back. You can just enjoy your time at the bench.
True. I probably take that for given a little or for granted a little too often, how I just assume that everybody is like me and gets fucking mad excited and just like does all the, you know, things.
I used to get upset, and, you know, when like people didn't think the way I did. I was like, oh, wait, that's just autism. Sick. Okay, cool. So I'm the weird one.
It's like, oh, got me. Okay.
Now it makes sense. All right. Sick.
Right. Well, guys, I think that we have had a fantastic conversation about this. I think I'm going to call it a quits here right now. I know we had a little bit of a technical difficulty in there, but thank you, gentlemen, for persevering with us and to the audience as well.
Sorry, Pabs.
Absolutely.
It's cool. I'll make a little
cool rod.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. I haven't gotten to that yet, but I wanted to. Yeah. Well, Dave, what's your pluggables? Where can people find you? Tell the internet about yourself.
Well, anybody just has to Google On the Bench podcast, and that's the quickest way you'll sort of find where we are on Facebook. And also we have another Facebook page for all our listeners called On Your Bench, where people post all their lovely works. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I'll be at Madison in 2023, so I'll be walking around on the Bench podcast. Yes. So come and check me out.
Is it just going to be you, Dave, or some
other guy? Yeah, Julian, look, no, man. Tyranny of distance, it's a long way and expensive to get to
From States. Australia to the U.S. Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, he didn't do it last year, but I believe you did. You came for Nats earlier in the year?
No, all three of us were over there for Omaha.
Omaha. It was the year before. Okay. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, I could have sworn you guys were at Nats, but I don't remember if it was the year before or this previous year. I bounce around the episodes. I try to keep up with the latest first, but then you've got over over 5 years of podcasting, mind you, On the Bench has been on the air. So there's lots of episodes too. I highly recommend them. That was actually one of the very first. So when I was getting into listening to Scale Model podcasts, outside of the Cutting Mat, because I was like, well, I love the Cutting Mat. I love you guys. And Joel, you guys need to get back on the bench. I know you guys are reading episodes, but I want to put some fire under your butts. I branched out, and On the Bench was one of the other podcasts, Triple P, Plastic Mojo, and then I went into Sprue Cutters, you know, but you guys were one of the very first that I started listening to outside of the Gumpla ones. There was only one other one I listened to, and I thoroughly enjoyed the episodes, and I keep up with them regularly now as well. Sometimes I forget where I am because I'm playing catch up as well as keeping up with current ones.
And that brings a point, Kyle, that if anyone out there wants to listen to any other podcasts that are related to the hobby, you can go to scalemodelpodcast.com. It's a consortium put together by Stuart Clark of the Scale Model Podcast, and he runs that shit, and you can find all the cool stuff out there. There's a bunch of them on there that we didn't even talk about. So please check them out. I'm going to go back into closing the show. How was that, Kyle, for a transition?
No, I love it.
Dave, go team. High five. Thank you for joining us. Once again, you can check him out on the bench and on your bench on Facebook. Joel, talk to me, baby.
What up?
Plug yourself. Plug yourself in. Oh, plug yourself on the podcast.
I'll plug myself in like a Evangelion pilot. Just depressed.
LCL, let's go.
Wow. Let's go. Everywhere online, you know, True Grumpla, Yenshin Toys and Videos, my new little online store I'm opening. Yeah. And the video part is VHS tapes. you heard that right?
We're bringing them back.
But then, our podcast, the Cutting Mat Podcast, is like a, you know, scale model mental health podcast. We're DIY in our own non-existent network because it's just a are three of us yelling together in a room and recording it.
It's perfect. I love it.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And we got a couple episodes coming out, new things planned. Like I said, the zine's coming out, all kinds of fun shit. So yeah, we're excited.
You guys have a Patreon.
Oh yeah.
And Dave, you guys have a Patreon?
Yes, we do. Certainly do. And without the support of all those people, there's no way we'd be able to continually produce it. So thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. And to everybody out there, it's a great way of supporting all these fantastic shows out there. So if you do have a Patreon, go and subscribe.
That's right. Well, and then I was thinking about this earlier in the week about, because of our patrons that we haven't had to pay for any of the programs we use since they hopped on. And I was just thinking about, like, I don't know where the thought came from. I guess I was running through a list of things I was grateful for. And for some reason I thought about our patrons and I was like, it's because of you guys. We haven't had to pay for the, because believe it or not, we pay for the streaming service. Pabs pays for the editing program. We pay for the royalties for the music. Like, there are expenses to making a podcast. And because of our patrons, we haven't had to pay out of pocket in a very long time.
Right. So, and we don't have ads either. So yeah, we've been really fortunate. We don't make anything on it, but that's okay because it's free to listen and free to download. So
that'd be hilarious.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Thank you, Kyle, for joining me this evening as well. And if anything, guys, build it sideways.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.